Kirby makes the observation, the ability to calm your soul and wait before God is one of the most difficult things in the Christian life. Just FYI, you may want to stay there for later. Let me read that again. Warren Wiersbe makes the observation, the ability to calm your soul and wait before God is one of the most difficult things in the Christian life. Our old nature is restless. The world around us is frantically in a hurry, but a restless heart usually leads to a reckless life. G. Campbell Morgan stated, waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means, first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing until a command is given. Carry some quiet around inside thee, the well-known Quaker George Fox used to say. Be still and cool in thy own mind and spirit from thy own thoughts, and then thou wilt feel the principle of God to turn thy mind to the Lord, from whence cometh life, whereby thou mayest receive the strength and power to allay all storms and tempests. Waiting and silence seem to be two of the most difficult things for a person to handle. Want an example? Go to an amusement park, get in line, and wait 90 minutes for 90 seconds of thrill, and see how enjoyable the wait is. See how much we enjoy waiting. Now, silence, that's a whole nother matter. Waiting in line for an amusement ride, just try to do it without any noise. Well, you can't do it. The park will play all kinds of loud music. It's all around you. The ride itself is making all kinds of noise, especially as you get closer. And the people around you are talking, even if you want to be silent. How about this? Driving down the road. Very possibly, most of us have some radio show on, some talk show, or a CD, or some radio station playing music, whatever. We have to have the noise. We come home. We turn the radio on. We turn the television on. A lot of times we don't even watch it. We just have the noise. But you know, the Bible seems to have a different path for our life, truly, than what we've created even for ourselves. And the path is to wait and be silent. Let's pray. God, I ask that today you will truly teach us. This is a lesson that is truly for every person here, myself included. It is one that is a continual lesson, it's a continual learning, and like the prophet Elijah, to be silent, waiting on you, so that we can hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah was an interesting prophet. He was bold. He was courageous. Yet, he was a man full of compassion and full of passion. He loved the Lord Almighty with all his heart, soul, mind, strength. He longed to speak the words of the Lord more than anything else, and even to the point of his own death. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Isaiah says this: "The Lord is waiting to show you mercy, and is rising up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a just God. All who wait patiently for him are happy." This is not the message we get from our world today. It isn't. Everybody wants stuff now. We love, as we get older, we love to look at the younger generation and say, oh man, they're the now generation. But listen, all of us are the now generation. Even if you grew up as a boomer or a buster, even if you grew up in the World War II era, and you're of that generation, it doesn't matter. Or if you've grown up since either one of those, we all want what we want, and we want it now. But let's be honest. We may couple it or hide it with what we do, what we say, but ultimately, we want what we want now. And so the idea to wait patiently, and then if we do wait, and we wait patiently, to be happy in it. That's a whole other matter, isn't it? The longest minute in the world, now see if you can relate to this, the longest minute in the world is when you are waiting at the microwave for that morsel of food that you want now. And you even, if you're like me, you even walk away to go do something else, and you come back and there's always still, 10 seconds left, right? It doesn't matter. It is the longest minute. I'm going to tell you what, if I found out I was going to die in 24 hours, I'd say, let me do it in front of a microwave because it will last forever. That is a long minute. And it's proof that humankind doesn't like to wait at all. God knows this. And that's why throughout Scripture, he continually tells us the importance and benefits of waiting. Let's look again at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Some of you may even have a picture or a plaque with this on it. And it says this: "But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." And oh, we love to quote that over and over, and we love to think of that. And those that wait on the Lord will soar like eagles, will run, will walk. Man, this is... That's the thing about waiting. Waiting usually does prelude action. But we want to get to the soaring and the running and the walking, and we want to forget about the waiting. Right? We want to get it done. Well, yes, there is soaring, there's running, there's walking, but is precluded by waiting. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord produces an expectancy of hope for our future. Waiting on the Lord produces an expectancy for the future. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. "Therefore, brothers, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient? He's patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near." So think of that, a farmer plants his crop, and he waits patiently, and it rains. The crop grows, and he waits patiently. And then the late rains come and give that crop an extra boost. And all of a sudden, then, the rains dissipate, and his waiting, which was a prelude to his action, now he harvests. That's what waiting on the Lord is. It's this expectancy, this hope. Waiting is an exercise in faith. And that exercise generates spiritual power within us. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Wait for the Lord. That just hardly makes any sense. Someone who's strong and courageous, they're not waiting. They're getting out there. They're doing stuff. They're making things happen, aren't they? I often wonder when I go to pastor conferences, why do we always hear from the guys who built these great, magnificent ministries? Are they more faithful than the guy like Clyde Coleman at Traveler's Rest down in Snell in Spotsylvania, who's been at the same church 50-some years? He's in his 80s and he finally said, okay, I can't do this every Sunday. Now, why don't I hear from him? Because I'll tell you right now, I know that man's learned how to wait on the Lord. And then in between that, he has strength. He has courage. And guess what? Waits on the Lord. Like we read in Psalms. It's an interesting thing. It's not a popular thing. But you know what? God brings good to us when we wait. And his hope is a hope that will endure. It's a hope that will endure, and we know from Scripture, it's a hope that will not disappoint. Well, let's take a look. Wait for this thing. I need to. Sorry about that. Let's take a look at Lamentations. I had to wait, and I wasn't real patient with this. I'm going to tell you that. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. I love this. Now, Lamentations, I just got to give you a little thing. Why is it called Lamentations? Because I'm telling you what, this book will make you cry. It'll make you cry at the judgments that are out on God's people Israel because of their disobedience to God. But chapter 3, verse 25, listen to this. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. Elijah, that was talked about in the video. This was a man of action. What caused him probably the most duress in his life is when God took him away from the action. Even a cool story about him sleeping with his pillow being a rock. I tried it out in Sunday school. My teacher brought in a nice smooth rock and said, all of you lay down and let this be your pillow. I said, I don't like it. Now you can keep it. I'm not taking it home. Elijah was a man of action, but God took him out to these desolate places. And he goes thinking, I'm going to hear from God. And this whirlwind comes. It blows past him. I imagine he probably had to hold on to rocks just to stay put. An earthquake comes. Could you imagine being on a mountain and enduring an earthquake? Now, we all know what an earthquake feels like. Or could you imagine being on a mountain and having a big earthquake come? God wasn't in that. How about being on a mountainside? I don't know if you've all, we've at least seen on TV. I've actually experienced firsthand a forest fire. But could you imagine, he's on this fire, on this mountain, and this forest fire just comes and wipes out the side of the mountain. He's thinking, is God in this? No. And then silence. And there's God. We have to endure when we wait. It is an endurance of waiting. In James chapter 1, verse 12, listen to this. It says, "A man who endures trials is blessed, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Listen to James chapter 5, verse 11. "See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You've heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome from the Lord. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. No one in the history of mankind has ever suffered more than Job." There's a whole Old Testament book dedicated to his suffering. And you can read it. It's called Job. It is amazing. Yet, at the end of Job, Job himself says, "God, you are compassionate and merciful." Well, think of this. As we read in Isaiah chapter 30, the first verse we read, those that wait on the Lord are happy. This world is one that is constantly seeking happiness in the noise of the world. All the time, everything around us is noise, 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 and trying to receive happiness from this when what it's found is in the silence. In silence of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Speaking of endurance, this waiting of endurance, it says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, endure. Be immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." There's an exclamation point right there. Endure, be immovable. Waiting is often a hard labor. We know this, don't we? I'll tell you, I think one of the toughest things to wait for in America today is a doctor's diagnosis. Folks, do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we do. We all do. We've experienced it or a loved one has. And we go in and we're very concerned about something in our physical body or our loved one's body. And we go for a test and we have to wait a week. And it could be something life-threatening and we have to wait a week just to find out something. Now, let me tell you something. That, to me, describes a labor. The labor in waiting. It's hard. But here's the thing. God's way is not just that we wait and endure through our waiting. Because we can endure lots of things and be busy. We can endure and wait for things and be very loud. But I'm going to tell you something. To endure waiting, God's expects us then to be silent. This really hit home for me a few years back. I faced some tremendous suffering and trial in my life. And during my hangout time with God, or devotion time with God, I found myself continually and almost exclusively scouring, studying, reading, meditating, memorizing Psalms. Bits and pieces of Psalms, going through Psalms, reading the Psalms. I found as I read through the Psalms, I was able to vent, because often the psalmist vents. I was able to anguish. I was able to be sad. I was able to gain them strength. I was able to find solace, peace. But then something really struck me. And it struck me very hard. And that was what I read in Psalm 62, verses 1 and 5. This taught me how to wait on God I haven't arrived. I'm still learning this, but I'm going to tell you something. I learned how to wait on God through suffering and trial like never before. When I read Psalm 62, verse 1, it says this. Now, your translations may not have this word in there, and I think it's sad that it was poorly translated. So I'm reading actually from the New King James, because the Holman did not translate it this way, and I'm sad about it. But it is absolutely how it is in the Psalms. Psalm 62:1, truly my soul silently waits for God alone. From Him comes my salvation. Verse 5 then says, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. The word that baffled me was not the word wait. I know what it is to wait. I've stood in front of a microwave waiting for that mac and cheese to finish up. I know what it is to wait. I stood in line at King's Dominion waiting for that ride I want to be on. I know what it is to wait. That didn't baffle me. What baffled me, what struck me, was the word silently. I literally remember exactly where I was when I read this. I remember going through and literally reading verse 1. It didn't quite hit me then, just a little bit. And I read through verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. And then I got to verse 5 and I saw it again. And I'm telling you, my mouth just went, and my mind says, what does that mean? How many times have I quoted Isaiah 40:31? Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. But silently wait. What does that mean? And I started praying about it. I started pursuing this. What does it mean to silently wait for God? It about killed me. Because I knew I needed silence in my life so bad. I was hurting so deeply. I was hurting so much. I had so much anger built up inside of me. I literally had no clue what that meant. Silently wait on God alone. I found that waiting, then, to be one thing. I found that enduring during our time of waiting to be something. But I found then to silently wait to be completely different. I found that to silently wait on God was to literally, completely trust in God alone. That's what the psalmist was saying. He said, I got all this coming around me. This was King David. Let me tell you something. That man went through way more than I was going through. And he said, I wait. My soul. It wasn't even that he was saying physically, though, it was like my soul, and that encompassed every part of his being, physically, mentally, emotionally, his psychological health, everything. He was going to be silent, completely trusting God alone. Why? Because from him it comes his salvation. Verse 5, then. Listen to that again. My soul, wait silently for God alone. It's like you get through verse 2, 3, and 4, and then it's almost as if David's saying, whoa, I boldly stated I'm going to silently wait for God alone. And then I start recanting what I'm waiting on. And he gets to verse 5, and he has to remind his own soul. And he says, my soul, hey buddy, self, don't forget, I'm reminding you, it's tough, but wait on God alone. For my expectation is from Him. Salvation? Oh, yeah, I know. My salvation's from God. That's easy. We know salvation is from God. But when He reminds his soul to be silent, to trust completely in God alone, he has to remind himself that his very expectations are of God. Now, folks, we have all kinds of suffering and trials that we deal with in our lives. How often are we just silent? Not pursuing and just silently waiting. I think a good picture of it is actually in Exodus. You have the Israelites, and they were enslaved in Egypt. Terrible, terrible persecution they went under, torture even, in their slavery. And Moses, this great leader, comes and he leads them away from Egypt into freedom. But it just didn't feel like freedom for them. They come out into the wilderness and they have the Red Sea in front of them. And they have the Egyptian army pursuing them, coming literally to destroy them all. They're afraid. No. They're terrified. They are terrified. So much so that they're actually looking at the slavery that they were in for 400 years. Understand, this slavery, for everyone that was there, they knew because they lived it. When a Pharaoh came and took every child 2 years and younger and threw them in the Nile and drowned them and gave them up to the alligators. They were there. To the point, though, they were so terrified that they were like, they were sitting there thinking, it's better if we had just stayed there. And listen now. Exodus chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Moses, isn't this what we told you in Egypt? Leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Verse 13. But Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord's salvation. He will provide for you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. You must be silent. In our suffering, in our trials, sometimes don't we look back to the golden years? As we see things maybe crumbling around us in our nation, and we say, oh, 30 years ago was so much better. 50 years ago, 70 years. The Lord will fight for us. We must be silent. Waiting for God in silence, being still, not doing anything is the hardest thing for a human person to do. Yet, this is what true waiting on the Lord is, and God Himself expects us to practice this. A little book in the Bible, written by a guy named Habakkuk, a prophet of God. Chapter 2, verse 20 says, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let everyone on earth be silent in His presence. To wait, to endure waiting, in complete silence. This is what God Almighty expects of us. I want to issue a challenge today, if I could. The first part of it is take 5 or 10 minutes every day this week. Just dedicate a week. We're not looking at a month. Just dedicate a week. Grab one of those daily breads and find the day we're on and start today. Take 5 or 10 minutes and have a quiet time with God if you don't already. Just 5 or 10 minutes. And then get to a place where you will literally have no audio or visual distractions. A closet and turn the light off. And just start in a prayerful manner and just say, God, I'm here with no distraction and I'm here to listen. And for the next 10 minutes then, each day, just listen. Listen to your heart. Listen to the thoughts going through your mind. And if you start thinking of the tasks of the day, make yourself put it aside and be silent. And just listen for God. I'm not saying a big light besides the one in your closet will come on. I'm not saying that you'll be thrust to the ground or anything. But remember, just like Elijah, he realized God was speaking to him in complete and utter silence. You try that every day. Maybe stand so you don't fall asleep. But try that silence.